Welcome to episode number 32.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a show that celebrates the RV lifestyle. Whether you have a small RV like the Road Trek Jennifer and I travel in, or a great big Class A motorhome, a fifth wheel, a pop-up, heck, even if you dry camp out of your car or tent and are just thinking about getting an RV, this show's for you. We talk about getting out there, enjoying God's creation, meeting interesting people, finding great campsites, exploring the countryside, as well as sharing tips on keeping our RVs running right and using the right gear and technology to enhance our camping and RV experience. That's what Road Trekking, the podcast, is all about, the RV lifestyle. This episode of Road Trekking, the RV podcast, is brought to you by Van City RV, where they only sell Class B motorhomes, Audible, where you can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/roadtrekking, and Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE networks. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. This is being released on April 22nd, 2015. And we are delighted to have you with us. We've got a lot of stuff here. We've got some reader questions and input and comments coming up in just a moment. We've got a look at some of the latest trends in the RV industry. I spent some time with Jennifer last week at American RV, one of the big dealers, one of the top, I think one of the top 50 RV dealers in the country. Just got a big award for that. They're over in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We were over there last week, and we got a chance to sit down with Chad Neff and Bob Wenzel and learn about Class B RVs, why they are now so popular, some of the new trends that are driving the RV industry, and it's for that small motorhome lifestyle. And we also met a couple that had just bought an RV, and we're pretty excited. So talk to all of them, and I think you'll enjoy that time. We've got a great off-the-beaten-path report coming up from Road Trekking reporter Billy Cochran about an amazing place he found far off the beaten path down south. And we've got several RV news stories you're going to want to pay attention to, including another report of drug dealers using RVs as their base of operations. So all that's coming up in the program today. We are delighted you are with me. I'm particularly delighted to have joining me right now my lifelong traveling companion and my wife, Jennifer. Hello, dear.
Hello, Mike. And first thing I want to do is thank everybody who congratulated us on our new grandchild. We had a beautiful granddaughter born, Jovie Mae, J-O-V-I-E, and she was born April 15th. 8 pounds, 10.6 ounces, 20 inches long, a beautiful, healthy little girl, mom and baby and dad, everybody's doing great. And this was our seventh grandchild.
We had so many nice notes from people. Of course, we immediately put this up on our Facebook pages and our personal stuff as well. And thank you, everybody. We try to hit like when you comment. But I was just amazed at the outpouring of support from our road trekking community out there.
It was very nice. We felt very loved. And we were so excited. We couldn't help but share pictures.
Yep, we got pictures. We do. And we took our road trek, CS Adventurous, over there to Western Michigan. And we spent 3 days over there last week.
That's right. We didn't realize that now fathers stay at the hospital with mom and babies. So we camped in the driveway a night because why mess up their house? And we had our road trek. Why not? We stayed in that.
And then we took off and hit the Lake Michigan beaches. It was a little bit early. You can find a report on that on our blog, roadtrekking.com. We kind of rushed the season. It was very cold the first night, but actually we had no one in what is normally a packed campground. So there's one advantage you go on when it's a little cool.
I absolutely loved it. I'm spoiled now. There was only the camp host and two other campers there. And man, the place was ours.
Yeah, I think 200 and something spots. And there was the camp hosts who had been there a couple of weeks. They were just delighted to see another people there in an RV. There was some guy in a tent way at the other end. And then there was a fifth wheel. And that was it at the whole campground. But we did a lot of hiking. And we visited a couple of our favorite resort cities on Lake Michigan. And then it dawned into a beautiful day. We brought good weather and got us all excited about the season that really is here. I think we're out of the rush of terribly cold weather.
It was actually good to go over there this time of year because the last time we were over that way, it was the 4th of July.
Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable. There was no place we could stay, no place. So, okay, let's take a look at, we got lots of reader questions that came in from voicemails. So let's check them out.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Hi, Mike. This is Bob O'Connor from South China, Maine, USA. And we are the proud owners of a 1994 Road Trek, which we've just purchased and decided we want to take care of it. It had only a little surface rust underneath. My mechanic said you could put that tarry stuff on for lots of dollars. What we opted to do instead was take a trip in the Road Trek for a four-hour drive to White Junction, Vermont, to get it undercoated with a product, a Canadian product, done by a lot of Canadian dealers, but very few in the U.S. of A. It's called Crown, K-R-O-W-N. And it may be something you want to look into and talk to your listeners to, because I think it's a great product. I'll know later. It was only $150 to get the whole RV done. They spray this stuff in the door panels, too, to help with the lubrication of the locks and the window mechanism, etc. So anyway, enjoy your show, and this may be something you want to cover because it's that time of year and they put salt on the roads. And yes, that doesn't do very good stuff underneath your vehicle. So check it out.
Well, thank you much. Thank you,
bye.
Bob. And, you know, it's kind of funny listening to Bob because for a lot of our listeners who are, you know, in the South or out West or Southwest, they say, why would you have to do that? But trust me, up here in the North, it can get pretty sloppy out there.
They put so much salt on the road around where we are. Now, in the northern part of Michigan, I know they use a lot of sand and other things, but where we are, it is salt.
It is indeed. And Bob gives us a pretty good reference of a place. We will put a link up on the show notes page, which is roadtrekking.com/32. And it's crown.com. They are a Canadian company, but they have dealerships all over. I did a quick check on the internet and found three of them near us here in Michigan. Obviously, most of their dealers are in the northern states because that's where you need it. But what Crown does is it's a petroleum-based product with rust inhibitors that, and they have no solvents, and they're designed to either slow down or inhibit corrosion, and particularly underneath the vehicles, which are exposed to salt as you go through those slushy streets up in the north.
For $150, that sounds like that would be money well spent.
Yeah, it is a really good product. It's environmentally safe and has no toxins or solvents. That's what you want to make sure when you put something underneath your car. It's also non-flammable, another big important thing. It's non-corrosive. You can spray it in any weather. And just go to the website. You can check it out. But for those of you who drive your vehicles a lot in the north, that's a pretty important thing to do, is to protect that underneath the part of it, because it can get pretty messy out there. Okay, that's Bob's question. Let's check out this one.
Hello, my name's Mike. I just bought a 1999 Road Track Popular 190 with a Dodge 318 motor in it. I'd like to know what the proper tire pressure is in the for the front and for the rear. If you can get me that information, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, it's very close to you, Mike. All you have to do is open your driver's door, and right on the column of the door, you'll see a little tag. And it will list your recommended pressure for the front tires and for the back. And there will be a difference. On your unit, which is a Road Trek 190, it's 50 pounds per square inch, PSI. It's called 50 PSI for the front two tires. And on the back, it is 80 PSI. Now, that is what Road Trek and the Recreation Vehicle Association suggests. But there's another place you can look, and that is on the tires itself. The tires itself embedded on the drywalls, or the rubber walls of the tire, will be a maximum pressure rating as well. And that will be different. It will probably be, maybe 65, 70. I don't know what it is on your, what particular tire you have. But go with the one on the post. It makes a big difference how you have air in those tires.
I could not believe the difference when you would get the tires with the right amount of air in them, the ride, the comfort level. It's important.
A lot of RVers, and there's some controversy on this, a lot of them believe, and it's generally true, that the less pressure you have in the tires, the softer the ride, and that is sort of true. But never, ever go below the ratings that are listed there, which is 50 PSI for your front. Now, your back tires are 80 PSI, and that is because, and you never want to change that. Keep it at 80, always at 80. Don't go above or below that, because that is maximized for the weight of the RV. That's where almost all the weight is. It's on those back tires, and those tires can go up to 80 PSI. Don't add more, don't add less. Now, there's a lot of people who will tell you everything around there, but go with what the manufacturer, who knows the RV best, suggests. You can go up a little higher in the front if you want a stiffer ride. I would not go any more than maybe 5 PSI and then try that, see how you like it. And I would not go any more than 60 PSI in the front. But I tell you what, I put two links up there for you on the show notes. One is from Goodyear Tires, and it's their recommended tire inflation loads for tires. And they tell you what they think it should be. And then there's another link I'm going to put on that gives you a different approach, which involves using the maximum numbers that are stamped on the sidewall of the tires that I was talking about. So you can look at both of those, but our advice is stick with what they say on the side of the driver's vehicle on that little tag.
And I think our advice is, if you want to save money, don't save money on your tires. Buy good tires.
Oh, yeah. We have a brand new RV, so we won't need tires for a year or two, but we were just amazed. We had Continentals on our older RV, the E-Trek that we put about 65,000 miles on. And just before we got the new one, we placed them with Michelin tires. And boy, those were, what a difference the ride made. So don't skimp on tires.
Even the driving, it was easier. They were just so good.
Yeah. But that tire pressure probably will be the most important thing. So take a look at the side part of your RV, and that will help you out. All right. Hey, we got a really nice note from our friends, the Ghouls, the Geeks on Tour.
Hey, Mike. This is Chris Gould from Geeks on Tour. We've been enjoying your podcast as we RV across Texas. Just listened to number 30 about choosing between Android and Apple and wanted to leave a comment. We agreed with everything that your guest had to say. When we teach at the big rallies, we ask for a raise of hands as to who has Android, who has Apple, and it's about 50-50, with Android having a bit of an advantage. But you know, lots of people have both. So we teach both, and you'd be surprised when an app is on both platforms that there are differences in them. So it's a lot of fun. So Mike, we'd really like to have you as a guest on our weekly webcast show. It's live, so it has to be on Sunday at 2 o'clock Eastern Time. Let us know if you're available. And we're looking forward to seeing you in Madison, Wisconsin at the FMCA there.
Yeah,
talk to you later.
That's
Bye.
Coming up this summer. I think July or August.
Yes, looking forward to it.
That's the big Family Motor Coach Association family reunion in Madison, Wisconsin. And we'll enjoy that. We'll do some of the exploring around the door country in Wisconsin. That's always good to hear the Ghouls, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is. They are so knowledgeable. And if you get a chance to attend a seminar that they teach, it's time well spent.
And they teach at all the major seminars. And Chris and Jim have a live hangout they do on Google. You can get information from their website, Geeks on Tour. And check that out. It's on Sundays at 2 o'clock and Eastern Time. We'll work it out with you, Chris. I'd love to be on your show. Do you remember, where were we? We were boondocking in the middle of the Pigeon River Forest, State Forest, wilderness area. Elk all around us. It was World Series time. It was kind of cold. And they were out at a rally in California where it was 75. And they we did a live video hookup. I actually talked to some of the people at the rally. The Ghouls are Geeks on Tour is the name of their little website and their business that they do. And they appear at rallies and RV events all over the country. If you, I can't believe that anybody hasn't been to one of theirs. But if you've never been to a rally, it's worth going just to hear them. They teach four and five of them over a weekend, and just absolute high quality instruction. And they're about the nicest two people you'll ever meet. We can't wait to see them, and check out their website and listen to their live Sunday stream as they talk. I think it's called "What Does This Button Do?" That's the name of their.
Oh, that is a great name.
So, yeah, Chris, we'll get together. I'd love to be on your program. All right, Jen, we got one more call from a brand new owner of an RV who listens to the podcast, and she's just so excited. Listen to her voice.
Hey, good morning. It's Martine here. I really love your sharing online and. Getting your Facebook pages, your messages. I just got a Sprinter Vista as my first one. It's a 2004, and I'm a little nervous, but I'm very excited at the same time. So I'm just reading a lot about what you have to share. Thank you so much. My name is Martine. Take care. Bye-bye.
That's pretty great. She's a little nervous.
Oh, that's so nice to hear that enthusiasm and excitement.
Yep. You know, and Martine, you are going to have just the best time of all. You know, so many people, I've heard from a lot of people who are brand new newbies, and they're all a little nervous about what do you have? I can't remember everything. And our advice is just go out and do it.
It's very intimidating. I mean, when we got our first one, you made a video as they instructed us as to what we had to do here and there and buttons to push.
I do. I recommend anybody, when you buy a new RV, they always give you a walkthrough, because you will never remember, and you'll be taking notes and you'll forget what they said. Just video. Have, you know, somebody record it on your smartphone or something, or bring a camera, and boy, that will help. Play it back.
Yeah, everybody has a smartphone, so they can make some little videos, because often when you take notes, then you can't read your handwriting.
No. Well, you're looking at me. That's me. Now, you can read
I think everybody, you're in a hurry, you're excited, you're trying to look and write, and it's better to, I think, do a couple little videos some notes.
And then you can play that back. And one of the other places that you can find as much help as you want and almost instantaneously is on our Facebook group. We have a Facebook page, roadtrekking.com, on Facebook. It's facebook.com/roadtrekking. And that has like 280,000 likes. Gets a lot of people who see it. But we also have a group, and the group is much more interactive. And if you go to Facebook, just look up the group, Road Trekking the Group, and you can join that. And if you have any questions, just post them there. And it's amazing how many people are on there and ready almost instantaneously to help.
That's true. There's a lot of folks that want to share what they have learned, because they know how intimidating it is can be sometimes in the beginning.
And, you know, we get questions all the time. People say, well, I don't have a road trek. Can I join the group? And absolutely. We're about the small motorhome lifestyle, the Class B, Class B+, Class Cs even. And we even have a lot of people who are in big, those great big Class As. And we're all, road trekking is a philosophy. It's a lifestyle. And if you like the outdoors and getting out there, and, you know, we're all in the same family. So check that out, Martine. And just thank you for dropping us that note of encouragement to us. And we can't wait to see you out there. Hopefully we'll run into you in the road. Well, there we go. That's our audio messages from this week. We've got a lot of planning to do, my dear. We are about ready to take our annual trip west, and we start earlier every year.
We better get planning, or else we're going to be trying to figure out where we've been.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it. Trying to figure out where we've been. We think we're going to go and start off at least on Route 66. It's kind of that iconic American trip. We've got three books we're reading, and we're kind of thinking that. But, you know, I hate to say that, because people show up. They just say, okay, well, if you're going, you know, like we're going to leave, I think, May 12th. And people say, well, we'll just kind of meet you in Chicago. Well, we may not get that far. We may see something that we like along the edge, and or we may bypass it completely. So I've kind of learned I'm not going to say exactly where we are because I feel so bad if people go there. Remember last year we were in upstate New York and somebody was trying to find us for 3 or 4 days and they always arrived the day after we left.
One thing I have learned to be flexible, being married to a journalist for so many years, things would go one way and then we go another. I could tell all kinds of tales about life experiences if we were going one way and then all of a sudden we were headed a different direction.
Yep, and that's probably what will happen on this trip, but at least that's our initial plan. We've been researching Route 66, and I think one of the things that attracts us to it is there's a big resurgence in it, and the resurgence isn't from Americans, because this was the first great motor route west. It followed the original wagon trains for a while, but Route 66 was huge, you know, all the books and the TV series in the 60s on it. But then the interstates came about and it was pretty much shut down. But I don't know if I've shared this with you. Do you know, my dear, why Route 66 is so popular now?
Because all the Europeans are coming over to enjoy it.
Yeah, the Europeans, and they know about it from that Pixar cartoon Cars.
Oh, you're kidding.
That's how they know from a cartoon. That goes cartoon movies, Cars, that was all set on Route 66. And so the Europeans are coming over because of a cartoon. And many of the cities have been are rebuilding parts of the route, and a lot of the buildings have been restored the way they were in the 50s and 60s. And I think this could be kind of fun.
So part of our homework is that we need to watch these cartoons?
Yeah. Well, we took our grandkids to see Cars. Remember Cars?
I think we've seen one. I think there are a couple.
I don't know. I remember one, they had the little tow truck, the little red tow truck. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it'd be kind of fun to watch them again.
Yeah, I guess we will. That'll be our research.
Try to get the granddaughters and see if we can watch that again.
All right. Well, Jennifer, thank you for being with me. We'll
My
get
pleasure.
On to the thing. And we are, again, thank everybody for letting us know about just your passing along your best wishes on our new granddaughter, Jovi Mae Wendland. We're pretty excited.
We are very excited.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question, leave a comment. Look on the right side of Mike's RoadTrekking.com blog and click the send voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Sponsoring this part of the Road Trekking RV podcast is Van City RV, serving RV shoppers from the center of the country in St. Louis, Missouri. Van City RV is one of America's top dealers, specializing only in Class B motorhomes from the three major small motorhome manufacturers. Now, these motorhomes, these Class Bs, are in stock, on display, and Van City RV loves to deal. They only sell Class Bs. The owner, Ray Dwyer, is the dean of Class B sales. Nobody knows small motorhomes better than Ray and his crew. They not only stock new models, they have a large inventory of used Class Bs as well. And they have a great fly and drive program. They're perfectly located in the center of the country in St. Louis. So shoppers from all over the country, they find their best deal, they shop online, and then they call Van City. They find Van City cuts them a great deal. So they fly into St. Louis, Van City pays their airway in, they pick them up at the airport, take them to Van City RV, and their new rig has been prepped and is all set to go, and off they drive, taking it back home. Jennifer and I have been to Van City RV. We've met Ray and Danny, Dan the Van Man and his crew. They have one of the top service centers in the country. They've worked on our Road Trek RV, and we can attest to their skill and their expertise. Danny the Van Man. Dan the Van Man's got some great specials for us this week. Listen up.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Hey, I've got three great Road Treks here. We have the CS on the XL chassis with the green package, ready to go off-grid. I've got an E-Track all loaded up, ready to go. I got a 210 Popular with the under-the-hood generator, extra batteries, and the solar panel. Looking to trade a Road Trek in? We'll get you a great value on your trade-in. Give us a call at 1-800-467-3905 or check us out at vancityrv.com.
News. Mike's got news.
RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the Road Trekking news of the week.
Well, this is a great sign of spring. It's from my favorite national park. At least it is this after last year, and that is Glacier National Park. Now, Glacier is probably the last national park to open after winter. And the good news is that they have started to clear the snow up there in the mountains of Montana, northern Montana, right up at the Canadian border there. And the road to Two Medicine Campground is now open. At least at one loop of that, of the Two Medicine Campground is now open for business. They've got limited service, but they've cleared the snow. It's you can get up there. There are Two Medicine areas accessible to the public, and this is pretty early. Normally, it's another couple of weeks, but it's open now. Park Superintendent Jeff Mao says the snow conditions across the park are still kind of varied, but park personnel are busily working to provide access. The Two Medicine Campground's open, limited sites, on a first-come, first-served basis. The water and restroom facilities won't be available for a little bit yet, but nightly fee is $20. RV dump station, not available yet because it's still very cold at night. It gets quite cold down there, but it's warm and quick. We're told that the Two Medicine Lake is free of ice, but the boat dock's not yet up, but won't be long. And the restroom near the lake is open. The general store is still closed. Also, the St. Mary Campground, located on the east side of the park, it is open, but you have to walk in only. You can't drive it yet. There's still too much snow. And that will open officially on June 4th. Of 2015. So that's the St. Mary Campground, and it will be in primitive status, no flush toilets until they open it. In the meantime, that's only $10 a night. You can also do some primitive camping in the Apgar picnic area, at least through April 30th. That's on the west side of the park. $10 a night there. Apgar, by the way, is supposed to open May 1st, the whole thing, and the visitor center is open only weekends right now. But the good news is it's starting to open. There's some vehicle access on the Going to the Sun Road, but only to the Lake McDonald Lodge area on the west side. They're doing a lot of road repair up there, and so vehicle access on the full Going to the Sun Road is limited just to the visitor center on the east side right now. But that's pretty amazing. At least some of Glacier is now open already. So that is a great deal. There's a great reminder of me that I should always turn off my cell phone before I start recording. But I did that. All right. Here's an interesting story. You recognize that theme? What is that theme, huh? That's the theme that from the TV series Breaking Bad, in which a central character of that three seasons show was the RV, and it was a 1986 Fleetwood Bounder, an old beat up Class A that the lead characters in Breaking Bad used to run their drug business out of. And it was a recurring theme throughout the whole episodes. It became so popular that now that the show's open, Breaking Bad and then the spinoff series, Better Than Saul, there is now a company out there that does Breaking Bad RV tours in New Mexico that take you to all of the sites where Breaking Bad was filmed. So that's the thing. Now, that's, of course, the fictional TV series. But in the news is a continuing, I'm seeing these stories all week long about drug dealers who are setting up their shops and using RVs that they can then drive around. They think they're beating the cops. I don't know whether they were inspired by that movie or whether they were always doing it, but there was a big story in Baltimore that broke this past week about a drug dealer who was caught transporting more than 60 pounds of cocaine and heroin to the Baltimore area. And the cops got a tip and they found him in a motorhome. And so they busted the guy before he got into town. And then what they did is they flipped him and they got him to work as an informant. And then they brought down nine other people Four of them were convicted by a federal jury this past Friday. There are five other defendants who have now pled guilty. And the FBI said in court documents that a tipster alerted him to this big drug shipment that was on its way from California to Maryland and hidden inside of a motorhome with Louisiana license plates. So they stopped this motorhome as it came into town. They'd been looking for it, and they busted the guy, and then they got this the driver to work with law enforcement. He made phone calls, which they recorded. They set up drug transactions with the buyers. Most of them, the RV would drive around to different parking lots around malls in suburban Baltimore, and it was it. So it's pretty neat. They twisted this guy, but that's a big story. RVs used for drug dealers. They use them like in the movie or like in the TV series Breaking Bad. You'll see a lot of arrests. I bet every week I hear of somebody getting busted around the country for using cooking meth in RVs, and the police are onto that. And of course, you see something weird like that out in federal land, don't approach it. Just get out of the area and call officials because they're on it and they don't want them there. And you might be doing some good work. So, but don't approach them because these people are nuts. But at least the police are on that scheme right now. One more story I want to pass on, and this has to do with another trend we see around the country in which communities have enacted really restrictive parking ordinances about for RVs. They basically say you can't park your RV in your own property. Now, most of them have an exception that if you're going to load it, you can bring it in the night before. Well, one such community is Elgin, Illinois. And one RVer has had enough, and she has now begun a petition drive and is going to go before the city council in Elgin to get them to allow recreational vehicles like motorhomes and travel trailers to be able to stay on private property. Cheryl Jacobs said she and her husband, Jeff, have a 27-foot travel trailer, and they've been parking it in the driveway of their east side Elgin, Illinois home during camping season from April to October. During the winter, they store it at a campground outside of town. But this past week, a code enforcement officer told the couple they had to move their trailer as they brought it over for the new season. And so she said, wait a minute, this is crazy. It's not a commercial vehicle. It's my private property. So she said, that's enough. And so she's gone out. She's got about 70 other RVers and supporters who have signed her petition. And they're going to try and take this to the city council. They say camping is a family-oriented type of activity. We're willing to buy a vehicle sticker so we can generate funds for the city so it could be put towards the community. We want to be reasonable, but you should be able to keep it in your own yard. So good luck to that one in Elgin, Illinois. And I think we're going to see more and more communities doing the exact same thing as they try and get these restrictive laws off the books. Hey, do you read roadtrekking.com? That's our blog, and it's important that you know about that because we stay in touch all week long with new content every single day.
You're listening to Road Trekking, the podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the roadtrekking.com RV travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. From the blog, just click the send voicemail button. That's at roadtrekking.com. The small motorhome RV travel blog. Travel blog.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV tech tip of the week.
Okay, this is one that hits home. Last week we talked about solar power for your RV, but now we want to talk about power, not necessarily solar power, but about backup power for all of your personal gadgets that we take. For example, I used to run out of juice almost every day about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon for my iPhone. And about an hour or so later, my tablet would die. We use the iPhone to listen to audiobooks as we drive, and I use the tablet for mapping and directions. But that never happens anymore because I carry backup. I have backup power. With so many of us using smartphones and tablets all day long, and more USB devices becoming necessities, you know, for daily life, the standard batteries that accompany most of our gadgets and our gizmos do not cut it anymore. So I want to recommend something that we've been using a lot. It's called the Mophie Power Station Duo External. That I've got a link on the show notes here for you. So go to roadtrekking.com/32 and scroll down to where we talk about the traveling tech segment, and you'll see a link to this. But it's the Mophie Power Station Duo. And what this is a small little gadget. It's about a half inch thick and maybe 4 inches wide, and it's got a place where you can actually charge your devices. It was developed to ensure that you have plenty of power to keep your cell phone or your tablet fully charged when you need it. And what you do, you can charge your phone and tablet together. It's got two USB plugs there. So you plug them right into that, just like you would into an outlet, but you put them into your Mophie, and it will charge them. It'll give them power. You can share a port with a friend in need when outlets are not an option, and you can get as many as 8 phone charges from a single charge to that Mophie. So if you're a boondocker, for example, we always charge up our Mophie really well. I mean, we get this thing charged, and then and we can go out and we do a lot of boondocking. We got all that power in our unit, but we also now, instead of having to draw on the battery power of the unit, we just take our little Mophie and we charge our cell phone with that. It's a great tool. It's the most powerful backup I've found for any of the different battery packs up there. Fits in a backpack or in a case, or I just carry it along with me. It's about $129. This is a big one. I mean, not big in size, but big power. So check it out. That's my traveling tip of the week, the Mophie Power Station Duo. And I got a link on Amazon, one of my affiliate links there that means if you buy it, I get a little commission. Little tiny commission helps me pay the bandwidth for this podcast. You pay the same price as you'd pay anywhere. That's how it all works out. But check it out. That's the Mophie Power Station. And I only recommend stuff that I actually use. And that's one we do. Hey, the traveling tech part of our podcast each week is brought to you by Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. Now, Verizon has a powerful network, right? It keeps you in touch when you're on the go and also when you're home. And here's a great deal that I think a lot of our viewers can take advantage of that may not necessarily know about, and that is wireless home phone. This is a great service from Verizon. It offers a reliable, portable, low-cost alternative to traditional home phone service. And if you do a lot of traveling, this is really a great deal for you because you can use your existing home telephone. The best part is when you travel, you get your home phone with you on your cell phone. Whether on the road, whether you're in a vacation home or your RV or you're moving to a new home, you can also get internet and home phone service all in one device with the 4G LTE broadband router with voice. So whether you need high-speed internet or phone connectivity when you're at home or on the road in your RV, this router securely connects multiple devices. All you need is that 4G LTE signal, and Verizon is the largest and most reliable of all the 4G LTE networks around the country. So this is a great solution for you. For a limited time, customers who sign up for Verizon's wireless home phone or broadband router with voice will receive 1 month of line access free. So go check it out. Go to your local Verizon retailer today and learn more about this special offer. And you can visit verizon.com/VZW for stories about how technology can enhance and improve your life. That's roadtrekking.com/VZW.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique road trekking RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
Well, this is one of my favorite segments in the program, and particularly today because we have one of my favorite road trekking reporters checking in from, well, a place that is certainly off the beaten path. Would you welcome my pal, road trekking reporter Billy Cochran, who begins with a nice little melody.
Blackbird sitting on a sycamore limb, singing out his soul. Old crow pulled a four-horse plow. Sparrow, why can't you? 'Cause my legs are little and long, and they might get broken too. There's a little bit of folk doggerel for you. This is Billy Cochran on a mountain in northwest Alabama at a cemetery established in 1937, the only one of its kind, exclusively for hound dogs that hunt coons, coon dogs. The Key Underwood Coon Dog Memorial Graveyard. You can find some black and white pictures and a little bit of information on the web at www.coondogcemetery.com, and I hope that Mike will be able to make space on the blog for a few pictures that I took here today. It's an absolutely beautiful spot. Quite remote. I got in with my Road Trek CS, a very windy road, beautiful spring at the top of the mountain, and a rather primitive latrine. And the real attraction, these tombstones. From 1937 on, people who love their hunting dogs have memorialized them here, and it's extremely touching. It's very moving, not just if you're a hunter, not just if you're a dog person, but if you are interested in, as I am, the cultural geography of the United States, and especially the South. I've lived in Mississippi 27 of the last 31 years. I'm originally from New York, but in the time that I've spent here, I've come to really appreciate the place of tremendous contradictions, the American South, a place that produced Br'er Rabbit and Jim Crow both, a place where you can find examples of the best and worst of America. It's been said that the South is America, only more so. And sitting here on this hilltop, this mountaintop in Alabama, it's just so touching to me to contemplate the folk culture that has produced the love that's evident all around me for these animals and their abilities. I think my favorite, and I hope Mike can run this picture, is one that said, not the best that ever was, but the best I ever had. I really recommend this. I came up Highway 78 from Mississippi, a highway called the Appalachian Highway. People don't really think of Alabama and Mississippi in the same breath as the Appalachians, which really brings to mind coal mining country north of here. But the cultural and geographic region of Appalachia do stretch down into northeast Mississippi and northwest Alabama. And that's really where I am. It's a very different place in terms of agriculture than, say, the Mississippi Delta or the Pine Belt. It's a very different place than the urban environments of Birmingham or Jackson. And here on this mountaintop, it's like those places don't even exist. You can Google the location. I found it on my GPS quite easily, although it took several hours to sort of wind my way up and in from Jackson. Well worth the trip. Bring a sandwich, prepare to sign the guest book, which is under a piece of plexiglass, and sit in the shade near the spring and contemplate folk culture, cultural geography, and dogs.
That is Off the Beaten Path. Billy Cochran reporting. Thank you, Billy. The Coon Dog Cemetery, and it is in rural northwest Alabama. And I've got pictures. Billy did send us some great photos, and we will put a couple, three of them up with the show notes for this episode, as well as a link to this place. Billy's got a knack, doesn't he, for finding these off-the-beaten-path places that are just made for a day visit with our RV. And I've been talking with Billy. He's got lots of other places that he's going to share with us in future weeks. So we welcome him as a regular now on our road trekking podcast, Billy Cochran and the Coon Dog Cemetery. You can find all of the pictures that he talked about and get a sense of where it is and plan your visit by going to the show notes post with on the blog, on the roadtrekking.com blog, roadtrekking.com/32.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question, leave a comment. Look on the right side of Mike's roadtrekking.com blog and click the send voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Hey, today's part of the podcast here is brought to you by Audible, and we have a great deal for you. You can get a free audiobook. Now, audiobooks are expensive. You buy one, they're like $23-24. But if you join audible.com, you can get them for much, much less. And I've got a free one for you. I mentioned before, and I've talked a lot about how Jennifer and I spend a lot of our time when we drive. We get audiobooks. I download them from Audible. I put them right on my iPhone. I patch that into the entertainment system of our vehicle, and we listen to audiobooks as we travel. And I got a free one for you, because all you have to do is get a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/roadtrekking. Go to Audible Trial, all one word, Audible trial.com/roadtrekking. Again, there's a link on our show notes page. And you'll see Audible has like 150,000 audiobooks that you can choose from. And they work on your iPhone, your Android, your Kindle, any MP3 player you have. And for you, the listeners of the Road Trekking Podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/roadtrekking. Again, that's audibletrial.com/roadtrekking for your free audiobook. Well, we had a great time this past week while we were out in Western Michigan attending to the birth of and meeting our brand new grandchild, our granddaughter, Jovi Mae. We stopped in Grand Rapids, and we stopped at our friends at American RV. They were celebrating their 27th anniversary, which is pretty significant in terms of the RV industry, being in business for 27 years. Love this company. It's founded on integrity and honesty. I've bought two of my RVs from them. The last two that we've had, we've actually gotten them right from American RV. And I had a chance while we're up there to talk with a true leader in the RV industry around the country. He's sought after by all the trade groups, Chad Neff. And we got to sit down and talk with Chad. Probably the top road trek salesman in the country, or certainly one of them, is Robert Wenzel. And we met Robert, talked to him about what he's seeing. And while we were there, we met a young couple from Michigan who, I say young, it's all relative, right? Young at heart couple, about ready to retire, and just ordered a brand new road trek. In fact, they ordered the same type of road trek Jennifer and I have. They're blog readers, and they had seen our road trek, the CS Adventurous XL that we have, and that's the one they wanted. And they had just they came over to American RV, and Robert just sold them one while we were there. So we got to meet them and talk to them about what they were looking at. And I think they're pretty typical buyers of why people are buying and why this small motorhome lifestyle is taking off as it is. So meet Chad Neff and the crew from American RV in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
The RV business has changed a lot over the past few decades, over the past few years. But when we look at some of those changes, it's kind of fun to look back and talk to some of the people who've been in it from really the heyday, when it first really began to take off. And of all the places around the country, there's probably none that have a better feel of it than American RV in Grand Rapids. And that's where we are now, because they're in the midst of a 27-year anniversary celebration. We're with Chad Neff from American RV. And those of you who read the Road Trekking group see Chad on often. He checks in. He actually enjoys talking to people, which is great. So, Chad, well, congratulations on 27 years.
Well, thank you. Yes, it's definitely an honor to be family-owned and operated for over going on 27 years now in West Michigan.
Now, the thing is that has changed over those 27 years is that it's no longer just a local business. Because of the internet, you say West Michigan, which is where you're located, it is you are shopped across North America.
Definitely. The day the internet changed our shopping process, it's basically an online showroom. So with AmericanRV.com, all our potential customers from the east to the west coast can jump online, get as much detail as they can there, and then they reach out to our sales consultants to kind of dial in the options and different ways of using the road tracks, which ultimately the lifestyle with the road track customer does differentiate from, you know, that avid camper or just a day trip type.
Now, how have you seen things change over 27 years? Besides the internet, what are the trends, what are the driving forces in this business that that perhaps potential shoppers should be aware of?
Well, one of the biggest things that we're seeing a nice increase in is the quality. Quality in the RV business is definitely something that in the past has been a little less than desirable. So now what we're seeing, especially with Rotrek, really the higher end coaches, they're slowing things down, slowing production down, even though the demand's really high, but they want to make sure that the integration from the chassis all the way to the electrical, the HVAC, in-floor heat, everything's working together nicely. Because at the end of the day, you know, that's what the consumers are expecting, and it's nice to see finally they're putting their thoughts where the rubber meets the road, and ultimately the dealer stands behind it is the biggest key. That's one of the nicest things. The other aspect we're seeing, especially in the smaller motorhome lifestyle, is people are minimalizing what they feel they need to take with them. So that's really kind of fun, being the Class B growth, especially within the past 5 years, is going strong. That's the two biggest components I've seen change within the last 5 years at this point.
Much more of a lifestyle thing. One of the questions that we get asked a lot from readers and people who are first starting to shop is the sticker shock they get when they look at a Class B compared to even, you know, Class A's. Huge things that are twice, three times as big, and yet the cost is up there in a B. How do you explain that to people, that they can understand how customized each of these units really is and how much more work goes into a Class B than a Class A?
Yeah. Well, having the luxury of living so close to Kitchener and also Elkhart County, I do spend a lot of time at a lot of the different manufacturing plants. A lot of people try to build a Class B, but they cannot do it as well as most of the Canadian manufacturers. So the engineering, the way things, the components, the way things are built to fit inside a B van is a much more difficult, much more time-consuming as far as assembling, specking them out, making sure everything's going to fit as well as it is from a what we would call a Class C, which would be a cutaway chassis. When they buy a Class C, they're basically buying a van front end and an open rail, and then what they do is they put a box on it from basically the floor. They put all the refrigerator, all the plumbing lines get put in, and then once everything's built, then they put the sidewalls on and then the roof like a shoebox. In the B, they don't have that luxury because they're working with inside that those parameters of the van shell when they purchase it from, you know, Mercedes or Chevy. So that's the biggest difference. And again, within smaller quarters, it definitely takes a lot more engineering and also the drivability. They're very cautious on how they weight things out. They want to make sure when they're putting weights and holding tanks and, you know, the different aspects, refrigerators, the heavy stuff, they want to make sure that the center of gravity is staying where it is so it travels as good or better than a box van or anything of that nature before they convert it.
Now, one of the things that people love to do with these is try them out. And, of course, obviously you can do a test drive, but it's very hard to find rentals for Class Bs. What advice do you have for people who are thinking about a B, and it's probably the second biggest investment since their house, that their sticks and bricks house? Are they available for rent?
Certainly. We were actually one of the first rental companies in the United States. I know Road Trekking has the Road Trek website does have a dealer locator for rentals. We're one of those dealers. So AmericanRV.com has a rental link. And we do offer a kind of a variety of your Class Bs, from the RS with a Mercedes chassis. We also have a 190. And we're also going to have a Zion in there as well to have the whole gamut of the Road Trek rental offerings.
So you can rent a Road Trek. You probably should speak up for it soon because they are in high demand. Well, this is your 27th year. And in terms of other dealers, I know you guys just won one of the top 50 dealers in North America in Las Vegas, at one of the big industry shows. But 27 years, and it is a family-run business. Just tell us a little bit about American RV.
Yep. Well, my father, he actually started 52 years ago in the RV industry. So 25 years at another dealership. He saw an opportunity to kind of spread his wings and go out on his own. So 27 years ago, in 1988, he and my mother, who ultimately him and her started out. I was 16 at the time, so I started actually sweeping floors and helped wash in the RVs. So we started out on a small lot, about an acre. Now we're at 19 acres with over 50 employees. We feel the premier RV dealership. Again, we're all about quality and the relationships that we build with our customers. And that's ultimately what has been our success throughout the years, is taking care of the customer, having fun along the way, and the people that you see here at our dealership, they've been here, you know, some of them over 20 years, and that's where, when you have people in this industry, that helps them to ultimately have a relationship and keep coming back throughout the years.
And in full disclosure, I should point out that I'm one of those customers that I have bought three Road Treks, the last two right here. My wife just called Hank her hero because Hank is one of your service guys who is on there, and we're over here a lot. So, and you can see that they also are one of our sponsors. We're very careful about who we use for sponsors on roadtrekking.com and on our podcast. And you guys have been right with us right from the start, and that's because we can, in all honesty, endorse you. I looked at your mission statement the other day: honesty and integrity. And I don't want to cast a lot of aspersions on an industry, but those are sometimes hard to find in the RV business.
Yeah, and that's ultimately, when my parents started the business, that's the foundation that it was started upon. And, you know, there's definitely your ethics are tested daily, but that's one of the things. At the end of the day, you can go home feeling good. You did what you needed to do for your customers, for your employees, and I had a good friend of mine and say, you know, I don't have a good enough memory to be a liar. And that's always been our motto, is to just be honest. If you mess up, tell them. And if you don't know, tell them, and try to find the right answer. And that's ultimately what is our guiding light.
Well, it shows, and I'm glad to be one of those satisfied customers. And 27 years in the business. Congratulations to American RV in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Well, thank you, Mike. It's been a pleasure, and we're looking to a great summer. There's a lot of good things coming down the pipeline, so we'll keep in touch.
We're talking about some of the trends involving the small motorhome lifestyle. We're with Robert Wenzel. Robert is probably one of the top Road Trek salespeople from anywhere in the country. You may be the top one, for all I know, Robert. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Welcome. I'm glad to be here, Mike.
And one of the things I was just asking Chad Neff is some of the differences, some of the things he's seeing in trends in the business. But from your perspective, from out there with customers, what is it that people want, and what are you seeing that's different these days?
Well, Mike, there's lots of trends in the new energies that are being developed, and we've got a 210 popular here with lithium batteries in it. More and more people love, I guess, hopefully going to love this lithium with the longer staying power. You can go out and boondock as much as you want.
That's great, and I didn't know they were actually on some of the models that they're offering. We've been testing some with ours, and they're phenomenal. So this is a 210 with lithium batteries.
It is, yep, 210 with lithium batteries, has 12 lithium batteries, actually 16 lithium batteries in this one.
16, that baby can put out some power.
Yes, it can. It's just, it's like the E-Trek, really, and maybe something that you've had, you know, in the past or whatever. It's got solar panel as well. So it's kind of the newest greatest thing.
And that is, I think, this whole trend towards energy independence when you're out there. And so many people want to go do what our lifestyle, which has been away from the commercial campgrounds. Not that we don't use them, we like them, but boondocking. Just met this new couple that just bought one, and same thing for them. They want to get out and do boondocking. So, well, you got it made. You got solar on almost all of these road trucks we're standing in front of.
Yes, yep. Solar is very important to most of my customers. You know, the customer that just bought just a little bit ago, that was very important to them. They've got one just like yours, really. It's a CS Adventurous with the XL package, the extended version, and it's got solar panel. And they took advantage of that incentive that Jim Hamill had introduced. It's good through April 30th of this month here that you get the free solar.
Jim Hamill, the president of Road Track, free solar for, that's a pretty good deal, through the end of April. Well, I'm going to go meet that couple, and we'll talk to them. But you've been with American RV for how long, Robert?
I've been with American RV for 11 years. I've kind of taken Road Track under my wings. I love them myself. I personally, this is something that my wife and I will get here eventually. We've still got a couple of boys still at home, so hopefully when we get them out of the house, we can get something like this, something like you and yeah, your wife and dog are doing, and travel the United States.
Well, we keep coming back to American RV, and I bought two from you guys, so... I guess my wife doesn't like me talking to you because every time I see you, I buy a new RV. So we can't talk anymore as long as she's looking. All right, Robert, I'm going to go meet this couple who just bought one.
Sounds good. I appreciate everything, Mike. Have a good day.
Well, lots of people shopping for RVs here are two people we just met who, congratulations, just signed a deal for a new Road Track. Tell us your names.
My name's Randy Zarnecki. This is my wife, Leanne.
Hi.
And we're from Brighton, Michigan.
And what did you guys buy?
We bought a Road Trek CS Adventurous XL.
And that's what we're standing in right now, because we're giving Jennifer and Robert from American RV are giving a tour of ours. You just met Ty, who's sound asleep back there. All right, so tell us, Randy, what was the factor for you in deciding to buy a Class B RV, like the Road Trek you just ordered?
Well, the size was very important, and the amenities provided by a vehicle this size. We didn't want a vehicle so large that was screaming, I'm an RV, I'm an RV. This is something you can park in the driveway, and unless you're really looking carefully, you won't know it. You won't necessarily know that it's an RV. But plus, we had to have a bathroom, we had to have a kitchen area, a refrigerator, and certainly an adequate sleeping area.
So, Leanne, how are you going to use your new RV?
Well, actually, we are hoping to start traveling the country quite a bit. We've been putting off a lot of our trips and doing them by air up till now, and now we're hoping to go a little bit farther and into the areas that we really couldn't get to easily, spend some time off the grid and do some boondocking.
This is great. We hope to meet you guys out there. And you read the blog and are part of a Facebook group?
Yes, we do. Yes.
That's good. And, you know, this is their 27th anniversary here at American RV. Robert's listening here. I'll make sure. Did you take advantage of that solar deal that you get the special solar system?
Yes, we did.
Well, certainly did, yes.
Well, that's it. Well, congratulations. We hope to see you guys out there. We post where we're headed every time we go someplace. So since we're both from Michigan, let's meet.
We'll be looking for you on the road.
We are excited to get started on RV, and this is a new thing for us, and we are hoping we meet a whole lot of great people. So far, we have.
Well, isn't that great? It's always fun to see the excitement that this small motorhome lifestyle, this whole RV lifestyle that we're talking about brings to people. And we congratulate Randy and Leanne there, who you just heard in that interview at American RV last week, about their brand new purchase. It was kind of fun. They followed the blog, and they had seen the one that Jennifer and I picked up in December, and we had it over at American RV, so we brought them in our unit. We showed them some of the little things that we had done. They met Ty, who was sprawled out against the back of the RV, sound asleep as usual. And I think he managed to pick up his head there and get a few pets. So congratulations to Randy and Leanne. We hope to see them out there a lot. They ordered a brand new one. Should be there in a couple of months, and they'll be out there yet this summer. Thanks to Chad Neff and Robert Rensel from American RV for making us so welcome last week as we were out there and watching all the excitement with their 27th anniversary. Well, this this episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast. Our sponsors have been Van City RV, where they only sell Class B motorhomes, Van City RV in St. Louis, Missouri. Audible, where you can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial. Audibletrial.com/roadtrekking. And Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest 4G LTE network. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to have your voice heard, if you've got a question that you'd like us to answer, if you've got a comment, we love it all. So be a part of this podcast with us. Just record a voicemail message by clicking the right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com website. Please follow us on Facebook, roadtrekking.com. Roadtrekking has a link both as a group and as a page on Facebook. And if you're on Twitter, you can follow me at roadtrekking. I tweet all day long about cool stuff we're finding out there on the road. So we enjoy it. Please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. And if you would do me a favor, I would be eternally grateful if you would give us a review and a rating. Those 5-star reviews that you folks have been phoning in have been so encouraging. If you would just go to the show notes section here, roadtrekking.com/32. At the very bottom of the show notes, you'll see how you can go on iTunes and leave us a rating and a little bit of a review. Those are so encouraging. We read each and every one of them, and we thank you so much. They help us get this program noticed, and that's what it's all about, sharing the RV lifestyle. Till next time, I'm Mike Wendland, road trekking across North America. Thanks for putting me in your ear. We'll see you next week.